That house was available then. But what good did that do us? We were the last name on a long list of applicants. Still, I was impressed with the way the idea had come to me, sudden and sovereign, in a manner I had come to recognize. Suppose again it were God's idea. Suppose Vim was willing to sell the house. He hadn't lived in it himself for many years. For the time being, I wasn't even going to think about the 20,000 guilders it would cost. I'd just take a step forward and see what happened. Forgetting all about my errand, I struck out across the polders to Vim's farm. I found him milking. "Hello, Vim."
"Hello, Andrew," Vim said, twisting his head around against the cow's flank. "Hear you're travelling a good bit. Lord's work?"
"Yes, sir."
"What can I do for you?"
"Well, I hear your place in town is going to be empty. Have you ever thought of selling it?" Old Vim's jaw literally dropped open.
"However did you know?" he said. "I made up my mind to sell just last night, but I hadn't told a soul about it yet."
I drew a deep breath and took the plunge. "Then would you consider selling it to me?" Vim looked at me for a long time, saying nothing.
"House has been in the family a good many generations," he said at last. "I'd like nothing better than for it to be used for the Lord's work, now that there are no more of us."
Only then, with heart racing, did I ask Vim the price.
"Well," he said, "could you manage 10,000?
This time I was the surprised one. That was half what I thought he might be asking. "All right, Vim, we have an understanding. I will buy your house," said I, who still did not have a penny to my name, "for 10,000 guilders." Before going home, I telephoned Philip Wetstra. Never before in my life had I borrowed money, but it seemed to me now that this was right. Mr. Wetstra told me that if I came to his office the following day, I could have the money then and there. So by the time I returned to our room above the shed, Corrie and I were the virtual possessors of a house. We went to look at it right away. Until that moment, I don't think I ever realized what it meant to Corrie, living in borrowed space in someone else's home. She ran from room to room, touching, planning, seeing in the neglected house the home that was to be.
"You'll be in here, Andy, and look, a whole room for the clothes, with the laundry tub right there. Did you see the room upstairs where your desk will just fit?"
On she went, face flushed, eyes aglow, and I knew that at last she and I had come home. The next day I went down to Amsterdam and picked up the money. Mr. Wetstra handed it to me in bills. We signed no papers, made no arrangements about paying it back. Nor did I mention the loan to anyone else. And yet, over the next 3 years, enough money came in above and beyond the needs of the work that we were able to repay the loan in that short period of time. Immediately, mysteriously,